open up to Isaiah 58. Isaiah 58. We're going to look at one verse. Actually, we're going to look at just really a part of one verse. It's in verse 8. And it says, "Then shall thy light break forth as the morning." And then here's the phrase we're looking at. "And thine health shall spring forth speedily." Now, as you know, we've been taking a look at fasting for quite a long time. We've had a number of messages on fasting. And we've dealt so much with the spiritual aspects of fasting. And what we began is taking a look now at the spirit or the physical things of fasting and what happens and so on and so forth. If you weren't here last Sunday night, all I can say is get the tape. Remember last Sunday night I said we were going to pick up where we left off? We are. Now, I'm not going to backtrack and go into a whole lot of detail. And those of you that were not here, yeah, thank you, Lord. Those of you that were not here and you have not heard the tape, when I mention what I'm getting ready to mention, please do not think, what kind of far out left field kind of church is this? And what on God's green earth did he say? I've never heard such words used in a church service in my entire life. Well, here they come. Last week, we began talking about longer fasts. And when I say longer fasts, I'm talking, you know, 20 to 40 days. And we talked about what's necessary as far as your preparation is concerned going into a fast that long. When you just have a 1 or 2 day fast, there's really not a whole lot of preparation that you might need to do. But when you're talking about the longer fast, there are some things that you need to do physically to prepare yourself. And maybe I should rephrase that from physically, dietarily. There are some things that you need to do before going into a longer fast to avoid a lot of problems. So we covered really just about all of that last week. And in the process, we also talked about the issues of enemas and colonics as they would apply to fasting and what the enemas and especially the colonics can do and how they can enhance the fast. Now, there are some people that say you definitely need to do things like that on a longer fast. There are some that say it's not important at all. My opinion, you know, after we've learned what we've learned, my opinion is colonics and enemas are things that we should definitely consider as far as a longer fast is concerned. Now, another thing to add to that, you don't have to be on a longer fast to achieve benefits of colonics and fast or colonics and enemas, because you'll attain benefits from that without the fast, but combining a fast with those things is just going to enhance the effects of both. Really. So those two things, enemas and colonics, aren't just for fasting. You know, you can do this any time that you want. And a lot of people do because of the cleansing characteristics. Now, I'm going to give you some additional sites, websites, two additional websites where you can get more information about colonics and enemas and more information about the supplies for colonics and enemas, including the colonic boards. Now, those websites are this. Oh, by the way, you know, again, this is going to be a very practical type of message. In other words, we're not going to be doing line upon line, precept upon precepting in this. We're still dealing with the physical things. And there are some people that seem to have this misguided notion that as long as you are spiritually minded, you don't have to be concerned about physical things. Believe me, that is wrong. Okay? There is a practical side to your walk with God because you're housed in a body that's not yet glorified, all right? So there are things that we need to do to keep this body functioning the way that it ought to function. Now, these websites are this, www.amenheal.com. www.amenhealth.com. www.amenhealth.com. All one word. A lot of good information there. Now here's the other one. /AWWSOME.com/ENEMA.HTML. It is very, very important that you type it in just like that. If you don't, you will not pull up the site. I don't understand all these internet things, but that you have to do it like this. I tried variations. It doesn't work. It has to be like this. I'll go over it again very quickly. http://store.awwsome.com/ENEMA.html. The backslash is on your key that has the question mark. All right? So you put the right direction slash in there. It's on the same key with a question mark. And again, you have to put that in exactly. So it's store.awesome.com, so on and so forth. And there are three W's in that word awesome. And it's all one word. And remember to put the dot in between the word store and awesome. When you go to this site, it's going to have a lot of information. And there is a video that you can watch. It's about 12 minutes long. And it's all about how to use a colonic board. Now, it's very discreet. There is nothing on there that would be embarrassing or that a Christian shouldn't watch. It's done with very tastefully. It's not offensive in any way, shape, or form. And if you have any questions about how to use a colonic board, this is step by step. I mean, it's laid out very, very clearly. It is an excellent, excellent little video to watch. You can order it. But why order it? You can log on and watch it anytime you want to. And I said, like I said, it only takes about 12 minutes. Now, I'm going to give you some additional books. One book is entitled The Miracle of Fasting by Dr. Paul C. Bragg, B-R-A-G-G. The Miracle of Fasting by Dr. Paul C. Bragg. Another book is Fasting Can Save Your Life by Herbert M. Shelton, S-H-E-L-T-O-N. Fasting Can Save Your Life by Herbert M. Shelton. And I have some books here. I didn't bring all these books in. For one thing, I don't own all of these books that I've mentioned to you. Some were loaned to me for research and so forth by a lady out at the prayer center in Tulsa. But I want to show this one to you. It's entitled Walking in Divine Health by Dr. Don Colbert, M.D. This particular book, it's not just a book about like maybe fasting and so forth, but it also deals in the areas of nutrition. And it's called Walking in Divine Health, Biblical Breakthroughs for Preventing Cancer and Heart Disease. This is an excellent, excellent book. There's another one here by the same man, Dr. Don Colbert. It's called Toxic Relief, Restore Health and Energy Through Fasting and Detoxification. Very good book. Toxic Relief. Now you can pick, this man is a Christian, by the way. And some of the authors that I've given you for some of these other books, they also are Christians. But these two books are very good. Then also Dr. Colbert has a series of about 15 or 20 little books like this. And the titles of the books are The Bible Cure for, and then it will be a different topic. The Bible Cure for, this one is The Bible Cure for Heartburn and Indigestion. There are some for high blood pressure and just, like I said, 15 or 20 different titles in these little books like this. And these are excellent as well. And you should be able to pick these up at any Christian bookstore. I know Bread of Life down in Waynesville carries them. You can probably find them at any of the family bookstores, but they're very good. Now, one other thing that I need to mention is if you're pregnant, do not fast unless you consult with your doctor. Do not, again, if you are pregnant, do not go into a fast unless you talk to your doctor. Because remember, if you're pregnant and you go into a fast, you're forcing the baby to fast. All right? That is not wise. So please consult with your doctor. Odds are your doctor will tell you it's best not to do that until after the baby is born and then after a period of time after the baby, especially if you're nursing, because the baby will need the nutrition, pass through the milk and so on and so forth. So if you are, you know, pregnant or if you just had a baby, do not fast unless you talk to your doctor first. I just can't emphasize that enough. Now, we talked about entering into a fast, what it takes, what kind of preparation and so forth that should be done as you enter into a fast. Then we dealt with the issue of enemas and colonics, what they do for you and so forth, and how they can be of benefit while you're fasting. But now let's pick that up and continue and talk about what's going on or what could happen during a longer fast. And again, when we talk longer fast, we're talking, you know, 20 to 40 days, maybe 15 days. And well, yeah, 15 days would fall into this too. Remember, there are basically four phases of a longer fast. The first would be a craving for food that lasts up to 2 and maybe 3 days. The second phase would be a feeling of weakness and faintness that could last up to 3 days. The third phase is a feeling of strength and little, if any, desire for food. And the fourth phase would be the return of hunger. When the hunger returns, again, I want to emphasize, it's time to eat. When you've been on a longer fast and the hunger returns, it is time to break the fast. That is the wisest thing I could share with you as far as that is concerned. Now, keep in mind that while you're on a longer fast, what you're doing is you're interfering with your body's trained response to the American way of eating. We have a lousy, horrible way of eating in this country. And your body has been conditioned to do that. In fact, here is something that's interesting. Sometimes people complain of hunger pains, but if you, while they're on a fast, if you stop and think about, just stop for a moment and internalize, what am I really feeling? Many times you're going to find out you're not feeling hunger at all. But what's happening is your brain is telling you, hey, it's time to eat. Because if you have a pattern of eating at certain times every single day, you will train your body to kick in the eat response at those times, usually within 15 to 20 minutes of that specific time every single day. If you'll notice, sometimes people are hungry. Like, let's say, for example, you work all week long, you always eat at noon. Then on Saturday, you sleep in. You get up at, say, 9:30, 10 o'clock. You have yourself a big bowl of Cheerios, all right? You're ready to get up and go with Cheerios. Well, then long about noon, all of a sudden, you feel hungry again, and you don't know why, because you just ate this big bowl of Cheerios 2 hours ago. Well, the reason for that is because 5 days a week, you're training your body to eat at noon every single day. So in a fast, sometimes, especially this is true in like maybe the first 5 days, if you start feeling like, oh gosh, I gotta eat. Just stop. Just stop and think about what you're really feeling. Odds are, it's not hunger at all. It's just a mental thing of, it's time to eat and I should be eating right about now. When you're fasting, remember, your body, when you go into a longer fast, but this can be true even with a 2 or 3 day fast, when you start fasting, your body has been designed by God to begin detoxifying itself, to begin purging itself of lots of junk that's caused all kinds of problems. And here's what's interesting. Going without food can only produce hunger. But it's the detoxification process that people complain about. All the, what we would call side effects of fasting. It's not so much the going without food, it's the fact you're fasting and your body says, boy, it's time to clean house. And your body begins to clean house, and it's the house cleaning process that creates the problems. For example, you walk into a room, you turn on the light. All the light did was illuminate the room. The dirt's been there the whole time. So you can't blame the light for causing the dirt to be there and the resulting work it takes to clean up the house. Well, as you're fasting, there are, well, even going into a fast, right before you start, there are certain juice drinks that you can make which will enhance the cleansing process. Now, in the books that I've given you and the websites that I've given you, you will be able to find all different recipes for these drinks that will actually enhance the fasting process. In fact, this isn't on a website, but I have it on a, I have it at home. You can actually build a little device out of a 9-volt battery. You know what a 9-volt battery is? That little bitty square thing you might put in a transistor radio, or like we have one here in this pack. Just a little 9-volt battery. There's a device that you can make with a 9-volt battery that you can actually attach right above the veins of your arm that will send a very gentle current into your bloodstream. As that current spreads through your bloodstream, it electrocutes parasites in the body, and they are purged. It's absolutely incredible. I've seen the diagram for this device. It's not just a matter of taking one of those batteries and putting it, there, take that, parasites. It's just not that simple. But there are other things that you can do, and if you look long enough on the website, you'll find this. But nevertheless, there are juices that you can make, and the recipes are in these books and on the websites, that will enhance the cleansing. Believe me, they will enhance the cleansing tremendously. In fact, some of them will be very effective when it comes to actually dislodging and helping you to pass gallstones and kidney stones that you didn't even know you had. Now, let's talk about what happens when you're going through a longer fast. Let me rephrase that. Let's talk about what might happen as you're going through a longer fast. Things that I'm going to describe right now are not guaranteed to happen for every person. The level of however many toxins you have in your body. Got out of that one, didn't I? Sound like Porky Pig there for a moment. The more toxins, the more wars that your body is going to fight. Because remember, your body does not go into the detoxification mode unless you go into a fast. Now, it might a little bit. I mean, it does on a daily basis anyway. I'm talking about a full-out, this is war, I'm purging myself kind of thing. These are some of the things that you might feel that you might experience. And we're not even talking about any kind of hunger pains. We're talking about the kind of stuff that people say, oh golly, when you fast, you're going to have this problem and that problem. That's just what fasting does. No, fasting itself is just going without food. It's the detoxification process that causes these things. Lightheadedness. This seems to be common for most people. If you get too dizzy, lie down and elevate your feet, if it's possible, if you're in a place where you can do this. Lie down and elevate your feet above your head. What happens is it causes the blood to be more effectively pumped to your head, transporting more oxygen to your head. And it can alleviate the lightheadedness. A change in sleep habits. Now, this could be beneficial. This is what's interesting. When you eat a lot of junk, well, the way most of us probably eat, the body does not appreciate it. And so the body requires energy to process, digest, and so on and so forth, all the food that you eat. Perfect example. Have you ever eaten a big meal, and about 20 minutes later, you feel like you are done for. All you want to do is find a bed. And, you know, you ever, isn't that terrible? Especially when you're at work. You know, your head's going up and down, your eyelids, you can't keep them open, and it's, you just hope the boss does not come by. It's a terrible feeling. Well, that's because your body is diverting energy to process and digest the food that you've eaten. Now, it's interesting how that people who have really bad diets have a tendency to feel sluggish, worn down, tired, sleepy, and so forth. I don't know why I feel like this. Well, it's possible what you eat is causing it because your body is trying to force you into sleep so it can divert all the energy that it normally takes to keep you awake, to keep your heart beating at your awake rate, to keep your respiration at the awake rate, all the energy that it takes to move, to walk, to do everything. Your body is trying to force you into sleep so it can divert all of that energy to attacking the food that you've eaten to help you make it the rest of the day. And so as you begin to change your dietary habits going into the fast, and then once you enter the fast, believe it or not, you may find you don't feel like you need as much sleep as what you did before. This might not be true at the beginning part of a longer fast, but as you get into it, you might find that you don't need as much sleep. It doesn't mean that you should not rest, because you definitely should rest and relax. And if you can take naps, take naps. But you may not feel like you need as much sleep at night, and you'd be able to get up earlier or whatever it would be. Skin problems and blemishes. Your face could break out.
Brother Martin, I am 53 years old, and you're telling me I'm going to go out to buy some Clearasil?
Well, have you ever gone to the doctor, you felt sick, and they give you antibiotics, and you take the antibiotics, and your face breaks out? Anybody ever experienced that? That's because the antibiotics are attacking the germs producing the sickness. In the process of attacking and trying to purge your body of these germs, your face can sometimes break out. Now, if fasting can do the same thing as the antibiotics, what's that tell you is going on during this detoxification process? The detoxification process is actually performing the same work as an antibiotic. Meaning, it's possible if you develop a lifestyle of fasting, let's say you have at least one, if not more, longer fasts per year, it's possible you could get to the point to where you are rarely ever sick. Because you're doing what the drugs would be doing anyhow. Guys, they didn't have antibiotics back in Bible times. They had to do something. Well, fasting was one of the things that helped them out. Feeling cold. Anybody ever gone through that? I just don't understand it. It's cold. No, it's 82 degrees. It's still a cold 82 degrees. Well, the reason for that is because your body is going through the battle of detoxing. As your body is diverting the energy now to fighting all this stuff that's on the inside of you, it's not going to work to keep you warm. And you're cold and you don't know what's going on. I don't understand this. Oh, I've been fasting and now I feel like I got the chills and boy, it feels cold in here. That's because your body is saying, hey, listen, it's your fault. I'm fighting all this. I'm helping you. If you're cold, go put on a jacket because I'm busy right at the moment. And so some people can feel cold. And again, at this point, I do want to interject. You may not feel any or all of these things that I'm talking about. But these are things that are somewhat common during this detoxification process. Bad breath. You may have a terrible case of elephant breath when you are fasting. This is a result of the fighting that's going on inside of your body. Your body is waging a war against poisons and toxins. Just think of your breath as an invisible smoke cloud rising up from a toxic waste dump. That essentially is what's going on. There's a war, you know, it's like they're burning off these toxic wastes and your breath is the smokestack, all right? Your mouth is the smokestack, and that's what's coming out. Now, when it comes to dealing with this, brush your teeth, brush your gums, brush your cheeks, the inside. Brush the roof of your mouth. Brush your tongue as far back as you can go without gagging yourself. Using the softest bristle brush you can buy. You might even consider purchasing a child's soft bristle toothbrush because those tend to be softer than even adult soft bristle toothbrushes. Contact your dentist. There are some toothbrush manufacturers that make brushes that are called very extra soft or something like that. I have only seen them distributed by dentists when people go in for a checkup. I have never seen them in any store anywhere. One company used to make it, Crest. I don't know if they still do or not, but you might even want to check with your dentist because these bristles are super, super soft. So do all that brushing. Now, as far as mouthwash, yes, go ahead, use mouthwash. Don't use mouthwash that has alcohol. All right? Stay away from that. Listerine, I mean, that's stronger than a lot of booze that's on the market. Seriously. So stay away from the mouthwashes that have alcohol. With regard to breath mints, there are some fasting medical experts and so forth that say breath mints stimulate your stomach to think that you have begun eating again and will either slow down or stop the detoxification process. You know, it's up to you if you want to do that. Breath spray. Use a breath spray that has a lot of those little things have alcohol in them. All right. So don't use the ones that have the alcohol, and definitely do not chew gum. You chew gum and your tummy is for sure going to think, ah, yes, food is on the way. Okay, body, shut down the detox process. We're getting ready to eat. So chewing gum should be completely and totally eliminated as far as that is concerned. And whenever you do use breath mints, the better choice would be sugar-free breath mints. Another thing that you might encounter could be loose bowels. Say, oh, brother, here we go again. This generally will take place during your pre-fast preparation. It can extend into the fast, but generally it doesn't go the entire length of the fast. What happens is, as you're going through the pre-fast preparation, remember all the things we talked about eating and so forth, your body is now suddenly inundated with all kinds of really good stuff and roughage. Roughage acts as an internal drain cleaner. Roughage, when you eat it, it's like it begins working its way through your system, and it literally begins scraping the walls of like your intestines. I mean, you don't feel it, but it's like it scrapes the walls of your intestines. Just like if you ever tried to remove paint from something, you use a paint scraper. All right, that's kind of like what roughage does on the inside of you, down through your intestines, into your colon. Now, it can't clean all of the stuff that's been impacted in there and built up over the years, but a lot of people say, golly, I don't believe this. It's like I can't stay out of the bathroom, and it's not just because of the water. Well, that's because all this roughage is now cleaning you out. When I worked for that the one particular weight management clinic, you know, we had the folks, we would give them this is what you're supposed to eat, and they had vitamins and so forth. And there were people came in really angry, and they said, you've got laxatives in that stuff. They said, no, we don't. It's just that you've got so much gunk built up over the years. Now you're eating in a way that you haven't eaten maybe in your entire life, and your body is thanking you and showing you this great amount of appreciation by purging itself of the stuff that you don't need. So you may experience this. Now, if it continues beyond like 4 or 5 days into a longer fast, you might want to contact a nutritionist. You say, well, no, I'll just call my doctor. Well, if your doctor is up on stuff like this, yes. If not, they may pull you in and want to give you some drugs and so on and so forth, and that is not what you want to do. So I'm not against doctors. You know that. But what I'm saying is you may want to contact a nutritionist. Good quality health food stores, not so much the kind that you find in the shopping malls, but the kinds that are like mom and pop operations and so forth, those usually, the people that work in there or the owners can usually point you in the directions of very good nutritionists and so on and so forth. Another thing that you might encounter is the flip side to loose bowels. It's constipation. Now, there are some things you can do for this. You can drink good quality herbal teas, which are usually purchased at a health food store. Caffeine-free. Very important, caffeine-free. A lot of the herbal teas that you buy in stores, like the grocery stores, can be good. But some that you find in the health food stores are going to be made out of herbs that are more suited for fasting, as opposed to just the stuff that you would buy off the shelf in the store. And then also you can drink small quantities of prune or plum juice. The fresher, the better. Now,
This, again, is something that you may want to consider purchasing at a health food store, because you want to stay away from all the processed sugars and that kind of stuff, because it's just not going to do you any good. This is also a very good time for an enema or a colonic if you're feeling constipated. This can cause some stuff to get loosened up on the inside. I'm talking stuff that's not just that there's a reason you're constipated, okay? We're talking about cleaning out some stuff that's causing you to be. It's not that fasting makes you constipated, no. I mean, think about it. How can not eating food produce food that can't be eliminated? All right? We're talking about stuff that's already in there. And then also during a longer fast, because you're not eating food, your stools may be a little bit looser anyhow, because there's not the firm food to be compacted for the elimination. Something else that you might encounter could be nausea and vomiting. Now, this really shouldn't happen if you're drinking water the way you should. The nausea and the vomiting many times is a result of you not drinking enough water so that your body has the fluid necessary to work the detox process. If you're not drinking the water, it's possible. When I say not drinking the water, again, whenever I'm talking about water, the primary choice is going to be distilled water. And if you can't get distilled, what you can at the grocery stores, you know, filtered water. But not the tap water that comes out of the tap. But the water is extremely important when it comes to the detoxifying of your body. And you really should not have the nausea or the vomiting if you're drinking water the way you should, you know, at least 8 glasses. And we talked about how to work up to the 8 glasses. Something else that you might encounter would be body odor. So will everybody else. Again, this is because your body is waging war against an enemy that set up camp. And remember how your breath, all right? Well, now your pores could be getting involved in this. And you could notice these odors. It's like, golly, gee, I don't understand this. It's like, phew, you know, I'm pretty rank. Well, make sure that you use a good deodorant soap, you know, bathe, shower every day. You might want to consider a good deodorant soap that also has moisturizers in it for your skin. And you might even consider maybe bathing or showering twice a day, depends on how bad it is. Use deodorant and a perspirant. You might also consider using, say, baby powder along with the deodorant. And you could also consider using scented lotions. You don't have to put them on very thick, but that can also happen. Now, this whole thing of body odor, I haven't heard too many people complain about this, but it could happen, especially if you've got a lot of stuff inside that's being burned up. Your urine might turn darker than normal, something else you could face. This is not anything to be alarmed about. It won't stay like that the whole time. It's just this is another way that your body is purging these toxins. You might notice that you have a coated tongue. It might look like your tongue has a little white or yellowish colored film on it. You're not turning into some sort of, you know, Stephen King monster or anything like that. You're not mutating into something that they're going to show in the X-Files. All right? You are just experiencing one of the byproducts of toxins being removed from your body. Again, use the toothbrush, toothpaste. It's nothing dangerous. It's not, you know, you don't have to rush to the doctor and say, oh, doctor, look at this. Doctor, just say, whoo, go home. So it's not anything to really be worried about. Headaches. This one seems to be a rather popular complaint. Many people complain of the headaches, and it can be a result of the caffeine withdrawal if you didn't properly eliminate caffeine prior to your fast. All right? I'm telling you, caffeine will mess you up big time when you are fasting. Don't drink it. Don't drink anything that's got caffeine in it. Get off the caffeine before you get into the fast. We talked about that previously. The headaches can also be one of the effects of detoxification and or dehydration. And boy, do I want to emphasize this. You can have a dehydration headache that can put you down for the day.
You might even think it's a migraine. It can be terrible. Most of the time, if it's a dehydration headache, if you drink at least 8 ounces of water, if not more, the headache's going to go away within maybe 10 minutes. It just won't hang around because you're replenishing what the body needed. But the headache can also be a result of the detoxification. Now, if you feel like you have to use a pain medication, please use something that is mild and does not have aspirin. Remember, you have not been eating. Aspirin can be an irritant to your stomach and cause you a lot of discomfort. In fact, because you... and another thing, do not take any kind of pain medication that has a narcotic in it, like codeine, like a Tylenol number 3. Oh my goodness, you'll be on cloud 9 for a long time. You think that stuff is potent, you know, when you're eating. Just imagine being on a fast and, you know, pop one of those. Don't do it. Don't do it. You won't be able to drive. You won't be able to work. We'll be trying to cast things out of you. Just don't do it. But if you do want to use any kind of pain medication, consider using pain medication that is designed for children. It'll be very mild. It'll be very tolerable for your system, and you'll be able to handle it fairly well. Another thing that you're going to, this is one everybody is going to notice if you go on a longer fast, weight loss. Guaranteed. Now, a lot of this will be due to the pre-fast preparation, the change that you did in your eating going into the fast. And it's also going to be due in part to the cessation of food intake where you're not eating anymore. For people that are heavier, a tremendous amount of the weight loss is simply going to be extra fluid that's been retained. I have, years ago, again, when I was working at the weight loss company, we would have people come in that would have so much fluid built up in their systems, you could literally take your fingers and just lightly go across the arm, and it would feel like you were touching a water balloon. You literally could feel it. It was that severe. And so during the first part of the fast, a lot of the weight that is lost, you may lose a lot of, you might lose, as you're doing this the way that I've described it, it's possible that somebody who's very heavy could lose as much as, say, 10 to 25 pounds in 1 week. You say, my God, you shouldn't lose that much weight. That's dangerous. Well, when it's fluid, it's not dangerous. Because your body doesn't want all that fluid, now you're giving it the opportunity to purge all of this fluid. So yeah, you're going to be in the bathroom a lot, but it's not a dangerous kind of thing because the weight loss will taper off. It will. I mean, your body will just begin to, once those fluids are out, the actual weight loss itself, as far as the fat and this thing, you know, it's going to level out and it won't be that severe, but it could happen like that at first. Here's something else to consider. This is very interesting. You may have increased mucus drainage. This can come from your sinuses. It can come from your bronchial tubes. It can even come through your GI tract, which means as you go to the bathroom, you may notice it looks kind of mucusy there in the toilet. The reason for that is because the body is producing additional fluids in the form of mucus to help purge the toxins and the poisons. A lot of times people go through this and they mistakenly think, oh no, I'm getting a cold. No, you're not getting a cold. Your body is saying, we are pulling out all the stops. We are going to clean this stuff out no matter what. And it's just, I mean, it may be kind of gross, but it's your body's way of saying thank you. I really appreciate you doing this for me. Something else that could happen, backaches. The backaches can be a result of, as the blood is carrying the toxins out, it usually will carry it into the colon, here kind of along the spine, very close to where the nerve endings are inserting into the spine. This can have an effect on those nerve endings, which can be interpreted as pain. One way to deal with the pain would be to just do some stretching exercises, because that will help. How can I put this? Well, I'll use it like this. It'll confuse the nerves into what's going on. I'll give you an example. Have you ever been to the dentist and they're going to drill on your teeth, so they give you a shot of Novocaine. Before they give you the shot of Novocaine, they put the topical anesthetic and to kind of numb it, so when they put the needle in, it doesn't hurt. I went to a dentist one time, and he's getting ready to give me a shot. And I'm thinking, wait a minute, you haven't done the pre-numbing, all right? And he said, now you just lay still. I'm going to jiggle your cheek a little bit. And what he did was reach inside like this and start doing this. That sounds real good on the tape, I'm sure. And he would just jiggle my cheek really fast, and then he would put the needle in. I never felt it. Now, the reason that works is because it's sending multiple signals to the brain as to what is happening. When that takes place, the brain does not recognize the needle being stuck into the gum. And there is absolutely no pain whatsoever. It doesn't work on the ends, like the roof of your mouth. There's nothing to jiggle. But the cheeks, it's incredible. And so you don't have to do the pre-numbing. By the same token, as you go through the stretching exercises for your back, you begin sending multiple signals to the brain through those nerves, and the brain can't process all of it at the same time, so the pain usually goes away. Also, you can lie down, breathe deeply, and so forth. That's going to help. Enemas will help. Oh, and by the way, the deep breathing, as far as the headaches are concerned, deep breathing to get extra oxygen into the brain, that'll help you a lot. Very deep breathing. Another thing that you may find is that you could have cold sores, fever blisters, begin to break out on your lips. I've seen this in some people to where it was very severe. Other people, nothing at all. Again, this is just another way that your body is expelling all these poisons. Now, we've talked a whole lot about you know, detoxifying and all. And this is, the whole time you're fasting, this is going on. It's not just for a few days. The whole time you're fasting, your body is doing this. But what I want to do is identify what these poisons are and what these toxins are and what is being purged, where it's coming from in your body and why you're experiencing some of this. One of the more interesting toxins, if you will, or poisons that you're going to be eliminating from your body are toxic acid crystals. Now, here's what happens. As you eat food, especially heavier food, and more especially heavy breakfast food, you know what I'm talking about? The heavy, you know, pancakes and sausage and bacon and waffles and, you know, all the typical heavy kind of, like what Kathy and I ate yesterday morning, the heavy breakfast buffet things and all that. Your body can only process so much of that stuff. So what it does, it breaks down as much as it can, and then some of the residue that's left over. When I'm talking residue, I'm not talking chunky stuff. We're talking little bitty, you know, like microscopic stuff. It actually forms into crystals, little tiny crystals. These crystals are then transported throughout the body. As these crystals are transported throughout the body, they begin to collect around the joints. Now, your joints have this interesting thing called synovial fluid. Synovial fluid is the lubrication in your joints that causes you to be able to do things like this. All right? It keeps you moving. As these crystals begin to collect around the joints, now we're not talking a week, all right? We're talking years this happens. The crystals begin to collect around the joints. Pretty soon, they begin moving into the joints, forcing the synovial fluid out. As more of these crystals begin to collect around and they're in the joints, they actually become like a cement in the joint that inhibits motion. You call your doctor and you say, gosh, doctor, I'm having these pains. Doctor says, well, how old are you? You say, well, you know, I'm 45 years old. Doctor says, well, just arthritis. Oh, okay. Maybe yes, maybe no, because the symptoms are exactly the same, and you can't tell the difference. Now, as you fast, your body attacks these crystals to purge them out of all of your joints so the synovial fluid can return into the joints and help you to move again. This is another area where the colonics and the enemas can be of great value, because as those crystals are being purged by the body, they're being dumped right into the area of the colon, the intestines, for the elimination. So the toxic acid crystals are going to be eliminated. Excess cholesterol, you know, the stuff that corrodes your arteries around the heart, excess cholesterol is removed. Poisons that have been stored in the spleen, liver, and kidneys are going to be removed. Here's how this works with these poisons and toxins. Our diets dump a lot of this junk in us. The body says, what am I going to do with all this? And so it begins looking around for a place to put it. It finds in your liver a little corner that's not being used. So it goes over to the closet door of that corner, opens it up, and been shoving all this stuff in there. Anybody have a junk closet at home? You got the picture. It begins shoving all this stuff into those closets of your kidneys, your spleen, your liver. When you begin fasting, the body runs over, opens the door, and begins cleaning out that corner of your liver or your kidneys. And this is something that can cause kidney stones. All this stuff that gets stored there in those corners. And so all that junk that's there in the spleen, the liver and kidneys. Toxic waste matter in the lymphatic system. Oh, by the way, all that waste stuff that's dumped in your kidney, spleen, and liver. You ever heard of things like liver cancer? This is where a lot of this is coming from. It's like your body keeps storing it and storing it and storing it. The stuff's in there for years. It never gets purged. What happens? It begins to fester. It begins to mutate. And it turns into something that kills you. Have you ever seen meat that's been left out that begins to rot? That is what's going on inside with all this stuff that your body is shoving into these corners. Toxic waste matter in the lymphatic system. You ever heard of lymphoma? Lymphatic cancer. This is where a lot of this comes from. You know how people say, well, you don't know where cancer comes from. Folks, I'm telling you now where cancer can come from. And this is not a, well, maybe yes, maybe no. Just think about it. How many steaks can you buy at the store and put under your couch before your whole house begins to reek? All right? It's the same kind of process. You'll smell that out on the sidewalk. Somebody will call the police and say there's a dead person in that house. And they'll think there is because of the odor. Say, oh, no, no, it's just like 40 pounds of beef shoved under the couch. It's the same kind of thing. Dead, diseased, or even dying cells are going to be flushed out and purged from your body. Toxins that have been embedded in the cellular membranes and fibers very deep in your organ tissues. So it's not just the organs themselves, but some of the tissues that are making up these organs and all. This stuff begins to be purged. Now here's one. Waste deposited in the tubes that feed nutrition to your brain. All right, think of it like this. In your brain, there is this little bitty, tiny, microscopic-like subway system. In that subway system, it's transporting all the nourishment and the oxygen and all those kind of things that your brain needs so you can think straight and be normal. The body is looking for places to dump this stuff. Problem is, it just has to shove it into different corners because it's not able to eliminate it. It's like cleaning house with all the windows and doors shut. If you can't take it out, you just put it into a different room. That's what's going on. These tubes, the subway system in your brain, begins to get clogged up. When the subway system in your brain begins to get clogged up, you can experience, if it's bad enough, somebody might almost think you have Alzheimer's. Because the brain's not getting what it needs. Well, as you begin to go through the fasting, that subway system in your brain begins to get cleaned out. So if you know anybody that's acting kind of weird, just make them fast. And it's also possible that cancer cells will be eliminated from your body. If not, cancer cells, precancerous cells, can be eliminated. And another thing that's going to come out, parasites. especially if you do the fasting and the colonics. You say, I don't have any parasites. Believe me, you probably do, especially if you enjoy your sausage and bacon and that there kind of stuff. You probably do have parasites. In fact, I would go as far as to say, you got them. And these parasites, well, I'm sure everybody here knows, you know, what a tapeworm is. You ever heard that? I mean, you know, there's a good chance you've got tapeworms in you now and don't even know it. These parasites latch on, like into your intestines. They can actually make it to your heart. You know, okay, the human version of heartworm, you know what heartworm is for dogs? It's the human version of that. It could happen. But these parasites, they find these little nooks and crannies in your intestines and in your colon. Man, they just move in. They think, boy, this is great. I mean, I never had it so good. This guy just keeps giving me this great stuff to eat. It just keeps coming through. And so there they are. They're latched. And they'll grow. I've heard stories. I've never seen the pictures, but I've heard stories that some of these parasites can be several feet in length. Yeah, this is super gross. We're not talking the foreign countries. We're talking, you know, in the good old U.S. of A., where some of these parasites can be several lengths. And this can, they can especially be purged more effectively through the colonics and the enemas. But again, if you go through some of these books and on these websites and check some of these recipes for the, like the juices and so forth that you can mix, some of these things, you know, you could see some of these parasites purged even just through some of these juices and so forth. I'll tell you what, let's do this. We'll pick up there tonight. And we will talk about coming off of fast tonight and what's important to do. Because if you come off of fast in the wrong way, the most extreme story that I have heard, this one lady, they thought she was going to die. Because she used absolutely no wisdom whatsoever coming off of fast. So tonight we are going to give you some detailed information about what to do, what not to do, what to eat, what not to eat as far as coming off the fast. Because in one manner of speaking, that's going to be more important than the pre-fast preparation that you did. You still need to do the pre-preparation, but the post-preparation or the post-recovery and so forth, extremely important. The whole time you're on this longer fast, again, the water, distilled is best, and exercise, short walks, not long walks, nothing strenuous, just short little walks, because it helps to get the body continuing to do the good things for itself. Go ahead and stand.